When you're a child, there's a lot of anticipation on Christmas morning. In fact, when you're a child, there's a lot of anticipation about Christmas for weeks before Christmas. Have you noticed that, those of you who have children? Ask any teacher or any parent or anyone who has anything to do with children, and they will say to you something along the lines of, they should really have weights put on them so they don't fly off to Never Never Land at this time of year. They get excited. And it's all about, to them, about getting gifts and the lights and the glitter and the glitz. In fact, about this time of year, teachers and those who work in daycares and parents go into what I call survival mode. The sugar is really high, you know, the sugar content in those kids is high, the energy level is high, the excitement level is high, and to try to teach them anything, just survive till after it's over. Parents don't fare much better, and it's all because of that expectation of what is going to happen in the near future. It's all about that Christmas morning, and it puts them into orbit. But it is really kind of magical to see a kid's excitement at Christmas, isn't it? I can tell you that my dad had a rule at our house. We always open Christmas presents on Christmas Day. There was none of this, we're going to open Christmas presents early. That's not Christmas. Now, we would get to open one Christmas present on Christmas Eve. We knew what it would be. It was our jammies for the evening. But there was not really that much excitement because we didn't have Helen King making our jammies for us. My girls look forward to that because Helen's made them some jammies. But we got the store-bought, you know, cookie-cutter plaid pajamas. So there wasn't a lot of excitement there, but there was excitement about what would happen the next morning. And as a parent, I began to appreciate what my dad and mom were trying to create in our home. They wanted to hear the expectation. They wanted to hear, can we open one? Just one more. They wanted to be woke up in the morning to the pitter-patter of little feet. See, at our house, we couldn't open Christmas presents until Christmas Day, but even more than that, we couldn't open Christmas presents until at least after 7 o'clock in the morning. You might as well be eating lunch if you're a kid by 7 o'clock in the morning. But my dad did make a concession long ago. He worked out a deal because my mom was not in favor of waiting. She thought we should be able to get up and go. But Dad worked out a concession. It was, you can open your stockings if you've truly gone to sleep. Whenever you wake up in the middle of the night, at whatever time of day, you can get your stocking and open that. And that was a great tradition. It was a fun, but my mom, I learned years later, loved to hear this excitement of kids waking up in the morning and running down the hall. Oh, God, look what I got. Now, I usually leave church pretty early on Sunday mornings. I leave for church about between 5 and 5:30 every Sunday morning. That's just to have some quiet time for me to be praying for the service, for me to be here without phones ringing, out of interruptions, all of that kind of stuff. But this morning, since we didn't have Sunday school, I didn't come in quite as early. In fact, I didn't leave the house until a little after 7. And you know what I found interesting? Was that even after 7, on Christmas morning, as I was exiting, I looked over on the couches where we put stockings, and they were all still there. They were all still full. There were some rumblings of people in the back room, but they weren't like little kids excited to get to those stockings. I couldn't help but notice as I left the house that the anticipation level in the Piper girls' world has dropped a little. The excitement that once was there that would get them up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get their stockings now is a little wiser and waits till 7. You see, as most people get older, the anticipation dwindles just a little bit. It may not be that they're not excited. It could be that it's cold and they don't want to get out of bed, or they're very relaxed, or they get the opportunity to sleep in when they've had to get up to go to work all the time. There could be a lot of factors that go on, but the anticipation level can easily be postponed as we get older. Or maybe they just have gotten to a place where they feel there isn't going to be anything there too impressive, too life-changing. Some even may have grown cynical, pessimistic about what lies ahead. Not impressed. At all. I remember the first Christmas quite clearly, where I cared more about getting a few more winks than I did about getting my stocking. I was in high school. I was warmly, comfortably, blissfully in bed. And at the wee hours of the morning one morning, my younger brother Mark and my little sister Joan, who had bedrooms upstairs, came downstairs where my brother Dave's bedroom and mine were, with our stockings in their hands. And unbeknownst to me, as I slept there comfortably, blissfully in my bed, an attack was about to ensue. Mark comes into my room and whaps me across the face with my stocking. I got hit pretty hard by that box, the traditional box of Lifesaver candies that was in the sock. Wow! About knocked me. If I hadn't been asleep already, it had knocked me out. Here's your stocking, Scott! Wham! And I was just conscious enough after that attack to hear my older brother say, "You kids, get back up to bed. Open your stockings in your own room." And the first time that the anticipation level was knocked down for all of the Pipers, my siblings and I was in college. My older brother Dave had graduated from college. My younger brother Mark and I were in college. My sister was in her senior year at high school. My parents were renting a home. They had started a new church up in Kennewick, Washington. They were renting a home up on top of the hill. They hadn't bothered putting up beds for us, so all of us boys were sleeping on the floor in sleeping bags. And I'll never forget, my mother busted down the door. Boom! And made one simple statement that rocked my world. She said, "When you have to wake your own children up for Christmas morning, it is time to have grandchildren." She said nothing more. She turned and walked out. She was upset that we weren't anticipating Christmas morning. She was mad. So being the morning person that I really am, I walked upstairs to her. I was the first to get to her. And I whispered in her ear, "Mom, would you like us to wait till we're married to provide you with grandchildren?" All of that to give you a little backdrop of what we want to talk about for the next few minutes. Over the past few months, we have looked at the time before Christmas, and we thought about how the need for Christmas came to be. We looked back at the first Christmas, Christmas past, and we attempted to briefly look at the amazingness of the Christ child coming and entering into the human race. Entering into humanity. He didn't enter into the angelic race because there is no angelic race. Each and every individual angel is created separately. There's no mama angels and baby angels, contrary to what you see in the Christian bookstore. There are no cherubs, little baby angels. He entered into the human race. He didn't become an animal. You know, I get it. Storybooks make animals talk like humans. But when animals are put on par with human, it minimizes the impact when you talk about Christ entering into the human race. Let me put it this way. Christ didn't come to save a donkey. He didn't come to save mice, and he didn't come to save, he came to save the human race. And he took upon himself flesh. He lived the perfect sinless life. So we've looked at Christmas past, that first Christmas. And last week, you remember, we looked at Christmas present, where we talked about how confusing and cluttered Christmas can get. With all of the activities, with all of the characters that the entertainment world adds to Christmas. I'm not against Frosty, for crying out loud. But Frosty really doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. Really, he doesn't. He's a cute character. So is Olaf. And the Abominable Snowman, man. I love the The more we add, though, of all of that kind of stuff, all of those trappings, the less room we really have. If you've got to watch all of the Christmas specials that have ever been created, if that's your tradition, you really don't have as much time to focus on the real meaning of Christmas in Christ. So Christmas has become very cluttered. And I would say for children especially, it has become extremely confusing. Because there is this narrative to try to make all of the stuff, the Santa and the Frozen and the Christmas Train or whatever that movie is. There's all this stuff to try to fit it into Christmas. And for a kid, they got to be going, huh? You can probably guess this morning, I would like for you to think just for a few moments on Christmas future. And not just any Christmas future. A very specific Christmas future, namely the first Christmas where all of the saints of the church of all ages get together with Christ. Can you imagine that for just a moment? Can you imagine that for just a moment? You see, I fear that we within the church have lost sight of that kind of Christmas. Some have grown complacent. Some have become pretty comfortable at where we're at. Some still maybe have even grown jaded or skeptical or just too wrapped up in the here and now. But somewhere along the line, the church has lost the anticipation of the return of Christ. And the connection, the wonderful connection that we will have with Him and all that will bring. I don't even have time to even begin to explain the splendor and the glory of it. But I want you to think about and ask yourself a couple of questions with regard to that Christmas future. The first being this: will you be there? You know, I come to church, I'll be there. I read my Bible occasionally, I'll be there. No, you know, you've been here, most of you have been here enough to know it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves. We're saved by grace through faith. See, the rapture of the church will be a great day for saints. We will be with Him. There are verses that say, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Not talking about the spiritual transformation that will take place in our lives. I don't know about you, but if for no other reason, I am looking forward to that day when I don't have to fight with the sinful nature anymore. It'll be gone. It'll be eradicated. We will get new bodies. We will be transformed. Take your Bibles and turn with me. Amos chapter 5. Hosea, Joel, Amos. If you're Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, if you're kind of wondering, we don't go to Amos very often. Amos chapter 5. Let me just read something for you, because while it will be a great day for the saints to be raptured and to be caught up to be with Christ, it won't be such a great day for those who aren't in Christ. Prophesied in the Old Testament here in the book of Amos, the day of the Lord is a very dark day. Amos chapter 5. And I just want to read just a few verses. Verse 18, alas, you are longing for the day of the Lord. For what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light, as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him and goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with not brightness in it? That's for those who have rejected. You get the picture there, right? You get chased by a lion, and you get chased by a lion right into a bear. That's a bad day. That's not a good day. You lean up against the wall. How many of you do that? 100 times a day. Lean up against the wall and a snake bites you. Not a good day. And the day of the Lord will be a terrible day for those who are not in Christ. So the question is, are you in Christ? Will you be there? Do you remember what the Apostle Paul told and Silas told the Philippian jailer? He asked a question of Paul, "Sir, what must I do to be what? Saved." And Paul and Barnabas, I kind of looked at that and it seems like they just said it together. Look, I mean, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 is where the question is asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And verse 31 says, "They replied," like in unison, "they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You'll be there on the day when Christmas enters into heaven for all of the church. We've talked a lot about the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because he rose from the dead, we have hope. The second question is, if you are sure that you will be there, are you ready for it? You know, the Word of God is very clear. Jesus, as he was speaking in chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of" what? "God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." The priority of your life, where is it? Most of us are probably in a whirlwind trying to keep up with life. You're trying to work, put food on the table, have a little family time, go into a doctor, whatever it might be. You're just living life. And you're pretty consumed with living life. Making money, and it's never enough. And Jesus says none of those things are really all that important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where the priorities should be. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 of that book, Paul makes a statement. I'll start in verse 1. "Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things" where? "Above." And I'm here today to say that if you're not looking forward to the return of Christ with great anticipation, it's one of the reasons you're not. If you've grown cold to that idea, it could just happen to be that one of the reasons is that you're not making heaven a priority. You know you're heading there, but the things of eternity aren't your priority. And Jesus is saying, and Paul is saying, that's where our priority needs to be. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth." And if you're not excited about the return of Christ, it is extremely possible that we have put the priorities on the wrong things. How about Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul gave us an example? He said to the Philippian believers and to us, I press towards the goal for the prize on the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was laying up treasures where? In heaven. Not here. Not here. He was laying them up there. And in so doing, he was ready for that day. How ready are you? How ready am I? The third and final question, are you anticipating it? Are you longing for the return of Christ? Are you can't wait with expectation? It gets you up at night thinking about how exciting it will be to be with Christ for all of eternity. And are you excited about the return of Christ, not just because it will get you out of this terrible world? I've said it. I've heard lots of Christians say it. I can't wait for us to be out of here because we won't have to put up with all of this garbage down here on earth. And there's a truth to that. I get that. I get that. But saints, we should be looking forward with anticipation to the return of Christ, not just to get out of a pickle down here. We should be looking forward with anticipation to that first Christmas where the church is with our Savior, because it will be glorious. We will be in the presence of God Himself. We will hear the singing and the praises and be able to join in. Even Vern Strobel and Earl Lassiter will be able to join in the singing and the glorious singing that goes on in heaven. And there will be a bodily transformation that takes place. Listen to what Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He's talking about unsaved people who have rejected Christ. He says in verse 19, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But in contrast, verse 20 says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. No more glasses. No more arthritis. No, our bodies will be transformed. Our spirits will be transformed. No more sickness, no more dying. There will be a reunion like no other reunions. I want you to, every time you hear the song, I'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me, to not think about this home, to think about that home. To look forward to the reunion with our dear Lord and Savior, to the reunion with the saints that have gone on before us. We should be anticipating that glorious day. And quite frankly, we should be living in such glory and awe of that day that we pull others along with us. we bring others to Christ because they want the hope that they see in us. Are you anticipating Christmas future?